Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Oh, I think there's a mic. There's that one there.
Yes.
Then there's a third one there, and there's a second one there. Look at that. It is exciting to welcome to the studio. Thank you, Pat. Yola Tenga, we have Ira Kaplan, frontman. Not frontman. It's like it's...
Gigantic Harry Morgan fan.
Giant. Yeah, your mind was blown there, right?
Slightly.
He sounded like...
Oh.
Can't have the headphones.
Can't do it? You don't have to do it. We're not playing. I'm not going to sandbag you and play like sound effects. And you're wrapped in the headphones. You've been in the studio before. How is this happening? It's like the first time you've ever seen headphones, Georgia. It's like you've made 19 albums. And I'm assuming you had to wear headphones at some point during them. I think you're going to have to go way up on that mic.
Yes.
You're going to have to go...
Here I am.
Rollins style,
all
the way up. And don't sweat through the mic either, the way Rollins did. We don't have replacement mics like he has.
Nice microphones.
And we have Ira and Georgia and James. How are you?
Good, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming down. This is so exciting.
Man, thanks for having us out. The place is amazing.
Oh, thank you. And this is the, who have we had here? We've had Julie Klausner came down and now Yola Tango. It's a short list.
I'll take that.
So you guys, and guys, I mean, is a, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Way up on it.
Okay,
on.
Sorry.
There we
sorry.
Go. There's a new Yola Tango album coming out, which the word just hit the streets on that this morning, right?
Yes.
Nodding doesn't help on the radio, James.
Today.
I know.
Tuesday, the 2nd of June.
And the album is called Stuff Like That There. A nodding doesn't help on the radio.
We'll correct you when you're wrong.
Yes.
Okay. He never nods.
Oh, so it's
nodding all the time.
It's one of those interviews. We're just like, okay, they haven't.
I'm still kind of reeling from that the spike call. So as you're speaking, I was like, go on. I'm interested. Yes.
He was so withholding to me on that. Have you ever, like, he was like,
You talked about him on national TV.
We had 4.5 minutes, and I gave one of them up to him.
Oh, my gosh.
He was, what a, but he was so entitled on that call. I'm intrigued. Get mentioned on TV. I'm intrigued. Go on. Like, oh, jeepers, maybe we can. How, what, like, what, like a used car salesman, like, what's it going to take to get you to care about this thing, sir? No, he did not give it up on that call.
What song did you recommend singing together? No, maybe not together.
I don't think
Neil Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
he could do like the karaoke. Talk singing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Atlantis.
He could do Atlantis, right?
Oh, yeah.
Picture him doing Atlantis, right?
Open letter to my teenage son.
The Americans, a Canadian's opinion. You ever hear that record?
No. What is
it's
that?
It's one of the weirdest records ever. Where it's like, it's like early 70s. It's some dude who's like, I am a Canadian. Like one of those like, like that's the background music. And he's just like, as a Canadian, my brothers to the south have really taken it on the chin lately. And he's like, I'm sick of seeing America get kicked around like this. Like, it's like one of those angry talking records that those don't exist anymore. Hey, Pat, could you throw the air on a little bit in here? Thank you. See, this guy Pat is doing everything tonight.
How do you pronounce? Is it Desiderata? Is that what Les Crane?
Desider, what is that now?
That was the thing that they mocked in Lemmings. They turned it into that you were a fluke of the universe was in Lemmings, and it was. I don't know. It's that's what it's spelled like. It's probably what it's called.
Okay.
You don't know that
is that Lemmings, the National Lampoon thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was not into that. I don't know. National Lampoon never did
Chevy
it for
Chase,
me.
Really?
No, not the...
That funny...
No,
it was from National Lampoon Lemmings.
The Lemmings, but I never... Yeah. I never. You know, the problem is it
John
never...
John Belushi.
It didn't translate when you, like... It's like you hear an album and you're just like... It's like when you listen to, like, a Steve Martin album, and all of a sudden it's just like... He moves. He's clearly doing something, and you hear all this roar of laughter. Yeah. It's like, oh, this isn't translating. Those National Lampoon albums felt like nothing but that to me. Like those cast albums of those things. No? Am
it's
I just, alone?
No, it's like nodding.
It's like the nodding of... Yes. So for what I'm... When I listen to...
In the room, it's yes. Killing.
I saw it live. I saw it at where it is now, Le Poisson Rouge.
There's actually a show going up. No.
No, no, that, no. Though it was at the Village Gate.
I don't know what you're talking about.
After Lightning Bolt a couple weeks ago, they moved it out. Move everybody back from Lemmings, yeah. Move them right back in.
Makes a lot of sense.
So you saw that. That was the final of those live shows they had, like they yeah. mounted.
And in fact, I saw the final one of the the final performance of National Lampoon Lemmings.
And then they all got cherry-picked in over to SNL.
I think they actually went on tour then. They were announcing they were going on tour.
Okay.
So it must have been. But yes, Chevy Chase, John Belushi, mm-hmm. Christopher Guest was no longer in the cast when I saw it. He had mm-hmm. moved on.
But that's awesome. But then you had the complete experience.
Yes.
See, that's what it feels like with... This is what I think I'll never appreciate, like, jazz the way, like, people appreciate... Jazz, when you think about, like, if you went and saw, like, John Coltrane, it would be, like, the most deafening thing you've ever heard, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're missing the force of what it was when it's only on record. Like, if you were seeing him live, that must have been, like, getting punched in the face with a saxophone. Because like, it was probably
That's
so
probably
loud.
Exactly like that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just imagine what it would have been like to sit there. Your chest would have been vibrating with the sound waves. Does you know what I mean? You know what it's like to feel like, why can't I go all the way with appreciating something? You know what that's like? It's just like you try and you try and you can't get there. That's what it's like with the Grateful Dead. I've tried.
You have not.
No, I have totally tried.
Oh, man.
No. All right, you two out. We're going to finish this.
No,
I have totally tried. I've totally tried.
Okay.
Everybody, listen to Anthem of the Sun, the remixed version. This is the one that didn't. This is a different mix. Fine, I'll hear. Listen to it. Sounds like a Bad Birds record, right? Sound like the Birds if they all played and nobody talked to each other about when to stop playing. If they were all like in separate sound booths and the Birds all started playing, guess what song we're all going to play? And they all guessed, and half of them guessed one song and the other half guessed a different one.
And you're then, telling me that doesn't sound good, even as you're saying.
No, I'm saying that's what I wish it sounded like that. So this album that's coming out, stuff like that there. This album is like you had an album, Fake Book, not I almost said Facebook,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you deal with that a lot now?
We're going to.
I like your album, Facebook. Yeah, so your album Fake Book was like, how long ago was that? Like almost like 20 years at this point?
25 years.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. And that was you guys stripping it down, right?
Yes.
And doing a bunch of cover songs that were meaningful to you.
We did a bunch of covers. I mean, some of them, they were songs. We've tried to unsuccessfully argue against how meaningful the songs necessarily were. We thought we played them nicely.
Okay.
They weren't necessarily, you know, a tribute to our favorite songs.
Sure. So they were songs that you felt you could interpret in an interesting way.
Nod.
That gets a nod. I'll take it. Woo! Hey, Mike. I got a nod on that one. Mark that down. Ira gave me a nod. So, and that this is some version of revisiting that.
Yeah, it's probably exactly a version of revisiting it. Okay. We got Dave Schramm to play guitar the way he did on Fakebook. Gene Holder recorded the record. He recorded Fakebook, and James made the. Herculean effort to learn the upright bass. So that was Al Greller played it on Fakebook, and James plays it on Stuff Like That There.
Wow. So you took it on.
I did.
The stand-up bass.
The stand-up bass.
The giant the thing you got to lug everywhere.
It was in many ways a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. it's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. And what was that first time you're just like, yeah, why did I say that that sounded like a good idea? What was the first moment when you realized that?
Before you even took possession of it.
Yeah, before I even took possession of it.
as we were trying to get it out of Logan Airport.
Yes. It's kind of the way I think about it is it's kind of like buying a boat.
Okay.
And it's like, I bought a boat. This is great. It's like, now I got to find a place to keep the boat. And then you got to get boat stuff. Yeah. And
a road case for the boat.
Yeah, and a road. Yeah, got to put the boat in a case of some kind if you want to take it anywhere. And I just want to play the songs.
Yeah, once in a while.
What am I doing? Yeah. It's like frets are I totally get why the electric bass was invented. It's a great idea. It's the perfect size. It goes like right here in front of you. You just put it over your shoulder, and it's got like dots and lines to tell you exactly where the notes are and stuff. It's like, man, you don't miss them until they're gone.
When we go on tour, we should put the upright bass behind us and just play the electric bass. It would look great.
That's not a bad idea.
When you're putting it together, track-wise, did you approach it differently, knowing that you had than you had done the last time 25 years ago?
Did we approach it differently than we approached the last one? A little bit. The last one was maybe entirely comprised of songs we already knew. In the late 80s, George and I used to go to radio stations, college radio stations, and bring a guitar. So as soon as the interview hit a dead spot, which was typically seconds after we arrived, we could, instead of answering the question of what city, we actually had the experience of walking down the street in Iowa City once, overhearing the people in front of us making fun of us for the lame interview we had just concluded doing. And they weren't wrong. So we got into the habit of bringing a guitar with us, and Georgia would sing and I would sing. And so we had a long list of songs that we did that way. And Fakebook was almost entirely drawn from those songs. This time we still had a lot of songs that we played in the last 25 years, but maybe half of them were things that we decided to learn for this record. We didn't. So that was different.
Hey, Mike, how you doing out there? Good. How deep are you? Three Coors Lights in. That's a good night. What's that now? Am I worried? I'm always worried. Okay. So, let's see what people have to say here on the Twitter. And you guys are on Twitter at The Real YLT?
That's right.
Did the three of you have the password? Who has the password for that?
We all have the password.
All three. Okay. Anybody else? No. All right. Didn't. Fair
no,
enough.
No, no nod.
May I have the password?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So, and you're also, you're on as at Dumpland.
Right, right.
Yes. So do you remember when we put that, the first Dump single I put out on my record label?
Yes.
And then, like, we were, like, painting and spray and, like, drawing on them because it was, like, each cover was hand-designed.
We had a great idea. Let's hand-color 1,000 record sleeves. And there's yes. Let's do it today.
There was a point where it was like, yeah, this is not fun anymore.
Later that day.
At all. Like, yeah.
Three records.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm done.
First one, you're just like, all right, here we go. Doing all this. Yeah. Let me cut some things out of the newspaper, start gluing them all over, do like a kind of collage thing. Then I'll put some watercolors on top. Next one, just draw an X and like a red marker. Yours has an X on the cover.
Look,
the record's the same. What are you?
Technically hand-colored.
Yeah. Yours is special. It's the least designed of all of them.
You're welcome.
So.
Well, that was a good, that was, those were the kind of things that were great ideas back then.
Yeah.
Here's a great idea.
Yeah.
Not a great idea.
No, could you imagine doing that now? Oh, my God. No. But you did that. You did a book. You've done all your drawings.
Well, I Xeroxed them. Oh, man, that's so awesome.
It's up there. See?
Hey. It's right next to that beautiful painting of you.
Yes, Amy Mann did that painting.
That's awesome.
And there's a mouse with a cape someone did.
Oh, yeah.
And there's Gary the squirrel hovering. He's always hovering. So, yeah, that would never happen now. But you have this book. You've done 2 volumes of your drawings.
And there's one more volume to come, and then it'll be all finished.
And they are you doing, what is it called? I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the exact title right now.
It's called 100 Wild Styles.
And it's you doing your drawings of your characters.
My characters, my little people.
Rabbit
well,
man.
People.
Right.
Little animals, yeah.
The animals. And people can get the books where?
Hard to say. I've like people have contacted me on Twitter, and that's worked out pretty well. They're at a few shops here and there. The other music record shop in New York, is a good place to snag them.
Okay. They're great. People should get them.
Thanks.
So when you guys title an album, right? Like this stuff like that there, I keep thinking I'm saying it wrong. Oh, it's driving me nuts. Like, how do you guys end up with a giant list of titles and you whittle it down? Or does the title just pop right in your head and you just know that's the title?
I don't think we've ever had a list of titles. It's more like an, oh my God, we need a title. I'd kill for a list of titles.
Yeah, I mean, to be candid, we very much did not want to call this record Fake Book 2 or Son of Fake Book, Bride of Fake Book, any of those. And it took us a long time to come up with a title that did not incorporate that word. So when we did, we went straight to the pressing plant.
Sure. And then you were just like, it was just sitting there. And then finally, the titles revealed. Like a new pope, the smoke changes.
Yeah. Yep,
at the Vatican, on Matador Records, the smoke changes out of their chimney. That famous Matador Records fireplace. I guess is that a fireplace that's going to in the Vatican? Right,
hibachi.
It's a hibachi. So what is he doing? Is it like the volcano? Like, is somebody in there doing like the tricks when you go to like hibachi and they're just like they cut the onions and then they put the flame shoots out. Oh, these hibachi guys got to work up some new stuff. You know what I mean? Chop an onion and stack it.
It's been a long time since I've had the one of the great nights out of my young life was my dad and one of his friends taking me and one of my friends to what's the Japanese restaurant where they cooked in front of you?
Benihana.
Went to Benihana and then to the NBA All-Star game.
Oh my God.
At the Old Garden, where we could see the court, but we couldn't see the scoreboard because of the overhang.
Yeah.
It's great.
The 400th?
It must be. I probably saved the ticket stub for a long time, but
what All-Star game was that?
I don't remember which one. A long time ago.
Do you remember someone? Was it Bernard King in it?
No.
What years are we
just
talking?
The old Madison
Square. Oh, the old Madison. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The Knicks were undoubtedly not yet good. This would be like the Dick Van Arsdale.
Not like
era.
Now.
Not like now.
Yeah.
With Cole Aldrich.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Get on board. It's going to be another fantastic season.
It's going to be 100 years of bad Knicks. How did that happen? It's like a plague was put on the Knicks that will never go away.
I think it was a curse of some kind. There's kind of no other explanation for it.
I don't know.
But at least now we got the liberty to enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, you can appreciate the liberty now, at least. I don't know two things about the Liberty. One thing I do know is they're not going to be bad for 100 years the way the Knicks are. Because it's like Carmelo Anthony's going to be bad. They're not going to win anything with him. Then they're going to stink more. And then it's just going to cycle back through again. It's never going to change. Ever, right? Remember with the 90s? Right? Anthony Bonner. Remember Anthony Bonner?
Singing the national anthem.
He had a beautiful voice. Seriously?
Oh, no, wait. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, that's not Anthony Bonner.
Walter McCarty?
It might be Walter McCarty.
Beautiful, like an angel.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice.
What's going to happen? Who is your favorite player on that team, James? I know yours is Charles Oakley.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Mason was a huge personal influence.
Yeah. Can you believe he's dead?
No, I can't. I can't believe anything would kill him. He just seemed like a Terminator.
Yeah.
He was on that J.B. Smoove show a week before.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was like a brick wall. When I was writing for basketball magazines, I would go to the Garden and interview people. And I saw Charles Oakley in the hallway once.
Whoa.
And he was the widest person I've ever seen. I'm telling you, it was like, yeah, he was big. Like you'd see Patrick Ewing. It's like, yeah, there goes a 7-foot guy walking by. But Charles Oakley was so wide. It was unbelievable. It was like a wall, it was perfectly rectangular with moving legs off the bottom of it and a head on the top. It was like a Lego creation. Oh my God, he was so. Yeah,
Charles Oakley's Twitter account is really good. You get really kind of glimpses into him that you never thought were possible. He loves. I mean, I guess I knew for a long time that he loved to cook. And he had this reputation as being a great chef and but occasionally he just comes out, you just see him kind of having fun. He's just in his own way, but normal guy. And then he'll just come out and just it was a couple days ago talking about I feel bad for the Bulls. It's those players are soft. They're never going to win.
Everything with him is how soft everybody
seriously.
Is. Seriously. Yeah. But then again, if you're that guy, you can talk about how soft everybody is. Now, Ira,
one of the
things that you and I have talked about over the years is you interviewing Kiss in the 70s. Would you talk about that now? Is that off? Is that taboo?
Nothing is taboo. Everything's on the table tonight.
Oh, no.
I was a rock journalist, and I was offered the opportunity to go see Kiss and interview them. And unlike some of the people in this room, I didn't really care about Kiss, but I liked the idea of going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a very good rock journalist. So things like preparing for an interview was... I wouldn't even say it was beneath me. It probably didn't really occur to me that I should. I think I was just going to be in the moment. And
how'd that go?
Well, so I stayed up all night. I went to see them, and the interview was the next day, and I stayed up all night and then went to
the hotel.
We're
talking about what year now?
I Was Made for Loving You, Dynasty,
so,
right?
Okay, so we're talking like, was that, 78, 79?
Yeah. That sounds, about right. And I went to, I stayed up the entire night, went to the hotel. Bill O'Coin brought me to the suite where the interview was going to take place. They came in not wearing makeup, which was very exciting. You really didn't have to, you'd have to really, really be uninterested in Kiss to not be excited to see them without makeup on.
Because by that point, the legend was fully in place, where there would be like, they would leave, like shows and stuff with like bandanas tied around there.
And it was shocking. I mean, they really, you know, he looked nothing like a kitty cat. I mean, it's incredible.
Kitty cat. Which one's the kitty cat? I can't tell you guys apart with no makeup. That's right. Yeah, you look like the monster. Yeah. What are you, the kitty? You're the kitty cat. So it's all four of them?
All four of them. And I probably asked a question, but I might not have asked a question. I just basically sat there like a very tired person who didn't care about the band. He was in the room to interview and didn't even have like the attitude to like, and this is all you guys deserve. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was, and they pretty quickly got tired of waiting for me to ask questions and just started talking among themselves. A large part of their conversation was about their, extensive heroin use.
Allegedly.
And the place, well, this is what they're talking about. I'm not, you know. Tom has asked me for the cassette many times, and I
have someday.
It probably still exists, you know, in joking about injecting heroin.
Have you tried to listen to it?
No.
Wait, right. That means you know where it is.
I don't.
I think I know where it is.
Do we?
I think I know where it is.
Can you show me where it is?
What if it was like what if you sold it, you press it up, right? Press up like one of those picture discs, like one of those like European interview discs. Oh, right. You'd always like I like the Stooges. I'll buy this thing. What?
You know,
talking?
I think it would actually be better as one of those things where you where I get taken off the record and it just comes with a script. So the DJ gets to play the record, and you provide the lack of a question.
Kiss minus one. Yeah.
So they were just so you sat there, and were you nervous at that point, or is it just were you overwhelmed by the moment? Because those things are shocking sometimes when you think you're going to skate, and then suddenly it's like, oh, this is actually happening now.
Yeah, I probably was nervous. In addition to everything else, but it was also a very large suite where the interview was taking place. And when it started, the five of us were on one side of the room and Bill O'Coin and the publicist were, you know, giving us our space. And by the end of it, everyone's like huddling together. It was, you know, it was clearly a complete disaster. But I was so bad at the job I was doing that if I was better, it wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a middle ground where I should have just realized, well, just transcribe this stupid thing and print it, that's the story. Instead, I wrote some terrible article with, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of quotes from the interview. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what it's like when you write for these things. Suddenly you're just like, look, will I get paid if I hand this in? I will. Okay. Then this is what I'm handing in. This is what you're going to work with. And that was New York Rocker?
No, that was the Soho News.
Okay. Soho News. And then shortly, how long were you in the game with that stuff? You got out shortly. You were like a few years later?
Yeah. When New York Rocker folded in, I think, 1981, I mm-hmm. think, something like that, I didn't do very much after that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, as I said, I wasn't very good at it. It was a great way to get free records and free entry to shows and see Kiss without their makeup, but I certainly did not approach it with the zest of a 18-wheeler and suddenly.
Yeah.
That was, and suddenly, it's James's fanzine. When did James first cross your radar, Georgia and Ira?
I believe we probably played together, I think James saw us before we actually met.
True.
Pretty sure.
Well, I would pretty much say that is a 1,000% certainty.
Distinct possibility.
That he saw Yola Tango before you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw you guys at Maynard's Wednesday night show. At
New Wave Wednesday.
New Wave Wednesday. Charlottesville New Wave Wednesday at Trax. And I saw you open for the Feelies.
At Trax.
I believe at Trax also.
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yep. But we would have met when James played with Christmas.
Yeah.
And we were friends with Christmas. And
for people who don't know, Christmas was a cult that was operating out of Las Vegas at that point.
Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. Yeah. So out of Providence before the cult moved west.
Freshly moved from Vegas to Providence.
Okay. So the cult went east.
Started in Boston.
Started in Boston.
Went to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you were in Las Vegas.
I was in Las Vegas for the very end, couple of months, six weeks or 2 months, something like that.
Right. Okay.
You in Christmas was maybe the most complex thing I've ever seen three humans do in a band together, where that seemed like it was like the most precise thing imaginable.
I listened to the album that we made when I was in the band, mm-hmm. and I could hardly recall recording any of the parts that I did,
mm-hmm.
and just thinking, it's like, man, that guy plays really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he's singing at the same time also.
It's like, I wouldn't.
And wearing a suit.
And wearing a suit. Yeah.
Yeah. The white suit.
The white suits, different outfits.
But the thing is, it's like, oh, listen to this crazy album where they played all the things. It's like, no, we do that live also. It's like, and there's that one radio tape I listened to 8 million times of you guys doing that album. The Vortex.
Right. We did that right before we went to the studio.
Yeah. And you basically played the album
mm-hmm.
as the album sounds.
And a couple of the songs that didn't make it onto the record are on that tape too.
Mm-hmm.
The Mutantes song I think is on there and a couple mm-hmm. other originals.
Yeah. So he was in Christmas and then you guys are like, look at this ringer, right? Is that what it was like? Like this guy's got it.
I don't remember exactly how it came up that you ended up that we asked you to play, or I don't remember the details of that.
Well, when we played with Christmas, Gene Holder was playing bass with us, and Gene was very generously doing some shows, but he had no interest in traveling, and he was clearly doing us a favor. So we knew that if we ever wanted to play live more than once every month or two, we would have to find somebody to go on tour with us. And James misreading the situation offered jokingly that said, well, you know, I could, you know, if you ever need a bass player, call me up. And we're like, well, that's not a laughing matter. And like, we called him like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Phone number.
Yeah. And I think I remember talking to you on the phone where you're just like,
guess what?
Yeah. I think I'm going to play bass with Yola Tango. That was very exciting.
That's true.
And you know what's exciting is that it's like, of all the bands, it truly is one of the things. And it's for, you know, when you're just making things and you don't stop making things, you know, where you're hoping that this is what you do for a long time. There's just a certain amount of just like pride in everything you guys do, where it's just like everything is definitely, it's like not, there's no bad album. It's not like you guys work so hard on the stuff to just make sure it just like stays at that level, and it changes what the albums are change and what the band is changes. But it's just the level that you guys maintain. It's just like, it's truly staggering. So I hope you guys know that.
Thanks, man.
Because it's just like, you look at anybody you like and it's like, well, this stretch sucks by them. And then you're like, oh, this is my favorite band. But yeah, skip all of that part. And then they kind of get good again. Maybe if you're super into it, but not if you're not really, if you're not super into it, then they just keeps going down. But it's like with you guys, it just has stayed at this level. And it's like, it's almost like you just like outwork it somehow. You know what I mean? Does it seem like that? Like, it's just like you don't settle. No nodding on this one. I don't want anybody to nod.
This is really more of a question for Billy than for
Billy. Yes.
And the ferrets.
But at this point, like, how hard do you guys work as a band to stay where you are?
I think we just work hard. I think
we work hard. Yeah.
But I think it's just what we do. I think we like. I mean, the last couple of days we've spent at our practice space, like, kind of finishing up some recordings that didn't get finished for stuff like that there, and we're finishing them up ourselves. Like, you know, we have like a little studio set up, and we just go to work, and we go and we sit there for several hours and mix things down, and in between that talk about sports and TV and stuff like that, and it's just kind of that's my idea of fun.
Yeah,
it's work, but it's but fun. It's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, that's awesome, because there's not a lot of bands. Sometimes when you're so deep into a thing, you don't realize it's like, oh, we're doing this differently than most of these other bands. Like, people check in, they check out, that things become like a, they just kind of fit the thing around their life rather than the thing being their life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you want it to stay great, it kind of has to be your life. And you guys don't dog it, which is something I always
you're saying
admire.
We have no life. Yes, that seems fair.
No, I'm saying you lay it out there. You don't phone it in. It's not.
No, I appreciate
you're pushing
that.
No, I appreciate you doing it. Look, I'm gonna ask you some rapid fire questions here.
All right,
let's see. Well, one thing is, what's a thing that you guys like? I know it's like, you don't, Ira, and you don't like Black Sabbath, right, Ira?
I barely listen to them. I wouldn't say I don't like them, because that would imply I know more about them than I do.
Yeah, but you just heard that and you were just like, nope. Or were you just like, I like other things and I don't have time for this?
Well, you know, you were talking about the Grateful Dead before, and I grew up in a real hippie town in Westchester, and the Grateful Dead were huge in that town, and it was sort of part of growing up where I did to become a fan of them, and so I did. And I remember seeing a copy of Paranoid. I don't know what a friend of mine was doing. It was like, War Pigs, ha 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 ha. And then, of course, Kimberly Rue had a song with that name years later. It's like, genius. So but it just wasn't something I was thinking about. And, you know, yes, that's right.
So what are the things like that, that each of you has your own thing and the other, we're just like, the other two don't like this thing at all that I like?
Wow. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean,
well, Georgia, do you like Black Sabbath? Are you?
I just don't really think about it or Sabbath.
Wait, you don't sit around thinking about Black Sabbath? Just like picturing Cloud Bubble with Geezer Butler in it.
There's that fantastic thing. I know you've seen it on, it's either, they always show it during That Metal Show. I know that probably you and me are the only two people in this room who watch that show. And but they show, there's like a couple minute long animation of Tony Iommi telling the story of how he lost his fingertips,
yeah,
and It's fantastic. It's really moving. And I think
because he's like missing a finger like that.
A few fingertips on his fretting hand.
And then he just was just like,
amazing. It was really moving.
Like, for most people, would be like, well, there goes my dream of playing guitar.
Yeah.
And for him, he's just like, I might be able to do this better than anybody in a weird way because I have less fingers.
Yeah. It ends up with him saying, like, so what started out as a really horrible thing turned out to be a really good thing.
Yeah.
They're like, wow. My mind was blown.
I wonder if kids are jumping their fingers all around the country. Like, this is Tony Iommi. Please. Kids, do not chop your fingers off. You will not play like I. So you don't know what's a thing that you can't think of something that's just your thing.
I like Black Sabbath.
Okay. Well, there's yours.
No problem with Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Georgia.
What's my thing? What's my thing that I think they like everything I like, but I might not like everything they like.
Okay.
Is that detailed enough?
George is more selective.
Uh-huh.
Let me think about that.
All right. Ira, no?
What?
Is there a thing you like that the other two people in your band are just like, no, we don't like that?
I know I like listening to things repeatedly more than Georgia likes listening to things repeatedly. I was listening to the Basement Tapes today, and when I put on the third CD in a row, George was like,
wait, slam,
this thing's still on. It's
like, I'm tired of that guy.
Yeah.
Belly aching.
Let's see. Let me get some of these questions here. Get ready.
Okay.
Dumbest purchase you've ever made?
Shoes online. Wrong. They're just wrong. It's a bad. It's a terrible idea. Don't do it.
Okay. What's the most you've ever paid for a record?
I don't know the most. I just spent $15, which isn't the most, but this is a good purchase. I spent $15 on a song poem about the Mets.
Oh, from what year is that?
I think it's about the 1969 Mets.
Okay.
$15.
Yeah.
No, I've spent more than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Of course you have. 15. Can you imagine if you're just like at this point you're like, yeah, 15 means you never bought like a current LP. Yeah.
Well, actually, that Basement Tapes thing was a lot more.
And that's the that's that box set where it's got everything on there.
Yes.
They didn't re-record anything. You ever see these Rolling Stones things where just like, I did new vocals for the thing. Well, I don't want that. Like, I need him now. Don't worry. I sang it in the style that I sang back then. Who cares? It's even worse. It's like, Mike, do you ever hear that stuff, Mike? The Exile on Main Street stuff where Mick Jagger's like, we had a couple instrumentals and I sang new vocals for them.
Oh,
yeah. Really? Could you imagine? I could not imagine wanting to hear anything less.
Them just as instrumentals too, or no?
I don't know. I know they put them out as a part of like a collection of, who cares?
Yeah,
Rolling Stones. Right. I don't ever need to hear that. You know, a song I never need to hear again is like any of those like Four Tops songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you ever need to hear like
My Girl?
Yeah, like My Girl. Like, is that the Temptations or the?
Yeah.
Doesn't.
Yeah, whoever.
Like Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. Can you imagine like? I could never get to the point where it's just like, ooh, listen to how fresh that sounds. It's like, no, that is rotten sounding to me now. It's like this music that can get played anywhere, like literally anywhere you could hear Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. Oh, couldn't imagine ever putting that on. Is there anything like that
that
comes to mind?
Those are two different things. I'm with you. I could never imagine putting it on, but if I were driving and listening to oldies radio, which I might be, I would not turn. That's not a song I would turn it off. I would turn it off for Mustang Sally.
You would turn off Mustang, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, that. It's like, shut up. Like when these records, you actually like yell that you want. Like people made this aren't hearing me get mad at it. So Mustang Sally for that. Georgia, what's a song you never need to hear again?
Sorry, I'm not good at the fast.
Okay. Well, we'll go to James, and we're going to come back to you.
Mustang Sally is such a great answer.
Yeah.
It's such a good answer that it's just filled me with so much hate for Mustang Sally that I really kind of I'm kind of blinded to my own answer. Mm-hmm. So I might have to go with that. We do start thinking quite a lot alike once we're traveling together. So
Creedence song I never want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about I'm that. Sorry. Like what song?
Which
Proud
one?
Mary?
Proud Mary.
That's the one.
Even though he says Toynin in it? And he's from Oakland, and he sings Toynin and Boynin. And Elvis doesn't say Toynin and Boynin.
I think I was frightening my brother with my vehemence on this topic the other day. But did you see the medley, the Creedence medley that John Fogerty did on Letterman in the last weeks?
I did not. Was it bad or good?
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Oh, no.
So it was an effigy.
That would have been so much better.
Yeah. No kidding. No, anyway.
What if he just came out and did the other dude's songs from that one Creedence album?
Yeah.
Remember that one Creedence album where he's like, I'm so sick of being in this band with you losers. And then they're like...
Yeah, Mardi Gras, right?
Yeah.
And
his brother split already. And he's just like, the only way I'm doing another album with you guys is if I'll write one third of it, but you bums are writing the other two thirds of this thing. So it's a 9 song album, I think. And his songs are like, hey, here's mine. Sweet Hitchhiker. Hey, Tonight. Like, he just like, just dumps 2 great songs on the tape. And then like, I know there's a song Door to Door, which is like, hey, baby, blah, blah, blah. But it's like the song where the drummer has to sing one. So it's like Doug Clifford is like, and there's like a Creedence Live album where suddenly you hear, they're like playing, here, I have to look this up now. You're not going to like, the jump in tracks on this is ridiculous when he goes, where is it? Here it is. Let's see. Creedence. Live in Europe. First thing, Born on the Bayou. Then Green River and Susie Q together. Then It Came Out of the Sky. Here, let's listen to the very end of this thing. Okay, that's here. Okay. Credence. It's Door to Door. Imagine. And then here's the song after that. Oh, like they put a Door to Door, then this next. It's like, he's just like taunting them with like their inability to write songs. Door to. Fine. What's your song? Oh, Door to Door. Sounds great. Yeah, let's add that one. We'll do that one in between. We'll do that. Then I'll do Traveling Band. And. Yeah, and then I'll do Fortunate Son after that. But don't worry, we can all be in this band together. So some Creedence song, probably Proud Mary.
Yeah, I'm not a big Creedence fan, I got to say, but I do like Fortunate Son.
So you don't like the West Coast Velvet Underground?
Is that what they're known as? I don't know.
In my house, they are.
Oh, okay. That.
So let's see. Okay, a couple more questions, and then I know you guys are... You have places to be. Let's see. All right. What's the longest you've ever gone without sleeping?
I 3 days.
3 days? And Georgia looks shocked.
Yeah, I sleep all the time. Okay. I can't answer that one.
So you'd be like 11 hours.
Yeah.
like it's like.
Oh my God! I gotta go to sleep. Yeah. I've been up for 11 hours.
No, it was terrifying. I was the second night when I couldn't sleep. I couldn't. I was.
That was on tour, right? Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
How long ago was that?
It was probably 2003.
Oh, that's way too recently for that to be like 2003 and you can't sleep. James,
I don't think I hold the band record, but I'd put it in around 2 days or so.
Okay. All right. What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever said to a celebrity? My least favorite question.
I'm not sure what I said. I spilled a drink on Dave Davies, that like in attempting to shake his hand.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure whatever I said afterwards was embarrassing.
Yeah, sure. That equals the it was the verbal equivalent of spilling a drink. Georgia, can you
so
think?
So Steve.
Oh, that's a great one.
what is so Steve?
There's so many so Steve stories. I think I was decided I was going to go. We were at a party in Nashville, and I think it was just James and I were at this party, and I decided, normally I'm very shy, and I wouldn't go up to anyone really to start talking, and I just figured, well, I'm going to do this. I recognize this guy, and it's Steve, and I'm going to go, I think it's Steve Earle, and I'm going to, I'm already messing this story up, but anyway, I went up to Steve and said I knew he'd been working with this band I knew, and he's they're familiar, but I don't think so, and it basically was Steve Forbert that I was thinking of. I was talking with Steve
and that's
Earle.
Who you were talking to.
Oh, I was. Yes, see, yes. I already screwed it up.
So you're talking to Steve Earle.
Forbert,
thinking you were talking to Steve Earle.
Yeah. not that it...
Mike likes that one a lot. That one made Mike very happy.
Okay, good.
Mike's favorite, though, Mike likes the Patti Smith one, right, Mike? Yeah.
I have a Patti Smith one.
I
mentioned it to you.
Uh-huh, yeah. And the only good thing about your story happening to you, it lessens the impact of my story, just even
incrementally. That's kind of why I had told you, because I wanted to help, because I know how it feels.
Yeah.
I was at a concert and in the city, and I was introduced to Patti Smith by the guy who runs our booking agent, and you know we exchanged. Like, you know, how you doing? And I got to kind of stick my two cents in on a little conversation that they were already having, and it was great. And I was like, wow, Patti Smith, that's awesome. And then at the end of the night, concert's over, I'm walking to my car, and I see ahead of me at the end of the block, Patti Smith. I was like, oh, and of course,
terrible.
The light change, you know, the crosswalk, the light changes. So of course it works out that I'm now standing next to Patti Smith going to my car, and the light of the crosswalk changes and we both start to walk. And I was like, hey, Patti, do you need a ride? And she at this point, of course, has no memory of meeting me and has no idea what's going on. She just knows that this like gigantic, like monster of a man is like trying to offer her a ride in his car, and she flees in terror, and that's it. It's like, all right, well,
I guess that's no.
Yeah. Good night.
It makes mine elegant. my asking her about humble pie in an elevator.
There was no perceived violence in yours, but I think mine had there was genuine terror involved in mine.
Unbridled miscalculation with mine. Let's see, a couple more questions here. All right, what's the best Kinks album? It's Arthur, right?
I used to think so. I think I now kind of gravitate to something else.
Think Visual?
I think Visual is close second.
Okay.
Something else by the Kinks.
Oh, I thought you meant something else.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I understand the confusion now, right.
It's our fun who's on first routine. You know, there's a lot of Kinks albums these days.
Yeah. No, something else.
The Great Lost Kinks album.
Okay.
You
can like the same ones.
It's not. Okay, Village Green. They don't say Village Green.
So. Well, if you like Village Green, then you should like Arthur Moore, because that's the rock version of Village Green. It's like Village Green with electric guitars. But they're all great. You can't. Well, not all of them are great, but. All right, final question here. Well, second to final. James, question for you. Enough with this nerd stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. I knew that one would be a quickie. And what's the most popular movie you've never seen?
I've never seen Forrest Gump.
Okay, that's a good one. Way up there. That's a good one.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now, really? Okay.
Oh, no, wait, I have seen that.
I've never seen Titanic.
I've seen the first half hour of Titanic.
Oh, 2001.
You've never seen 2001. All right.
I've pretty much seen them all.
You've seen, you love movies.
I love a movie.
That's what we all say about you. Boy, that guy sure loves his movies.
Say what you want about him.
Yeah. Say what you want about him.
Take that, Patti Smith. We could have talked about movies the whole time.
Yes, we could have talked about how I've seen every movie.
Go ahead, name a movie, Patty.
Like that would have lessened her terror, you saying, sure. I've seen every movie.
Humanize me a little bit.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Patty, thanks for getting in my car. Fun thing about me, I've seen every movie.
Before I start the engine.
Yeah, exactly.
And lock the doors.
I know you'd think I'd be driving a windowless van, Ms. Smith. But now... try to stump me. I've seen every movie.
Go ahead.
And then she's just wondering, how do I signal someone so they know I'm in this guy's...
This is how it ends.
Oh! Yeah, this is how... I think about how it ends for me. I just think about Spike. I think about that voice saying, hello, Tom. And I'm going, and I'm like, no! No, I feel life slipping away. This can't be it. And it will be it. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming down so much. Yola Tango, we have Georgia, Ira, and James.
Pleasure. Love the new digs.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have an okay time?
Yes.
Great time.
Don't you like how I say that in my I'm talking to a 4-year-old voice? Did you have an okay time? Talk about things I need to fix. That's one of them. Are you happy? Like I say that in some, like, I'm not sure why I'm asking you if you're happy, but I'm like belittling you as I'm asking it. Did you have a good time? That's a no-win situation. So the album, and again, I keep losing the title to it.
Stuff Like That There.
Stuff Like That There. And who else is on? What other songs are on this album? We're going to hear one more at the end of the show. We'll hear the new version of Deeper in the Movies. Which...
Yeah. We took three of the songs from our old records and did new versions. And we wrote two new songs. And then we covered stuff by The Lovin' Spoonful, Antietam, The Parliaments, Darlene McRae, Great Plains, The Special Pillow, which you already played.
Antietam.
Hank Williams, The Cure. That's most of it.
Mm-hmm. Were you
Sun Ra, The Cosmic Rays.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, that's most of them.
The third one, 25 years from now.
That's right.
When you guys do the third one.
Yep.
I would like to pencil in Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth.
Oh.
Right? You know that song?
I like that song.
It's a good song. It's like fake 60s.
Yeah.
Should erase Mustang Sally.
Then they did the question mark song.
Yeah.
I think it was the follow-up, yeah.
Yeah.
They were on a roll.
They were. They were on a roll. Then it all came crashing down. When their talent ran out. Then tragedy struck. And Smash Mouth were revealed to be a moderately talented band who had slightly more than their fill of success. And it ran out. The end. Well, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
And we're going to... thank you. We're going to play... we'll play... from the album Stuff Like That There. We'll play Deeper in the Movies. And thank you again. Let's hear this We'll be back.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show number 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.